Good afternoon and welcome to... Where's my sound? Doesn't seem to be... Good afternoon. Now we are doing great. Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight with here on Eagle FM. We are here until the hour of six, as always. Your drive time, we know it's Africa Remembrance Day, but you know, just in case you are driving from chilling, and hope you're not drinking and driving, but hope you are observing the Africa Day observed in peace.
As if, Helmut, as if.
I know my country. There's no way that's happening.
Yeah. But yeah, you were saying.
Africa Day observation in peace. I'm just having my fingers crossed here and hoping that you're celebrating it in peace, not in pieces. Don't do that because we want you to continue listening.
Or having invested in some of the things that we might talk about today, for example, like the opposite of peace. Is usually being unpeaceful.
Reading this, parliamentary union report, I'm going, you know what? I think we, we should have picked a different topic. One thing I started telling myself is that if I was an international defense consultant, a very smart guy that all nations are consulted with on whether or not they should, build an army, I would tell every one of them, please build an army. Here's why. One reason, opium wars. Dude, all the Chinese government did was tell France and Britain, this stuff you're bringing in my country is not healthy for my people.
Yeah.
They got invaded because of that.
Yeah.
All they did was watch out for their people, social and political and economic well-being of their people, and they got invaded because of it. Why were they invaded? It's because, again, both France and Britain knew China at the time did not have the military capacity to defend itself.
Mm.
You think anyone of these two would try that now? They're smart enough not to do it now. Why? It's because China is now a nuclear. Actually, we can give them credit for that.
Mm.
Thanks to them, China is now a nuclear superpower.
Yep. Because they obviously saw the opposite.
They just figured that,
what not to do.
Yeah. Negotiating with these guys, it doesn't work.
Yep.
Now, that is where we, that's actually what puts in, a fork in the road when it comes to, to the role that organizations like the Inter-Parliamentary Union plays. Inter-Parliamentary Union, just picture it as an organization that's composed by members of parliament from over 180-something countries that are just coming together, that are coming together twice a year to, to share ideas on how to better negotiate, not just go, full on kaboom every now and then as a, dispute resolution measures.
Yeah.
And this organization is coming from 1889. It's over 100 years.
But it's not older than the ITU is the oldest one of the UN agencies. The IPU, it seems like it doesn't look like a UN agency, but it actually is part of the sort of like affiliated agencies of the UN. The important thing is, Hamoud, obviously, what has been seen and shown. For example, just for our listeners to know, this report that we're sitting with is a report of 2024.
Yeah.
Not to say it was written in 2024. The people went to the engagement in 2024 in March.
Yeah.
That's when they attended the IPU summit. There's a couple. You said two. Like two big ones, but usually there are like other particular events also in between, that they usually broadcast on the YouTube channel. That's why I discovered them as well. If it wasn't also for the reports we were issuing from our legislature, you and I probably wouldn't have known about this unique affiliation of Namibia.
I know, right?
But here's the weird thing. And it's a good thing you started on that discussion, a discussion of yesteryear or the last century, the previous century, highlighting specifically how in the realm of globalization, in the realm of international, an international community discussion, the respect between countries is a critical thing. You need that mutual respect discussion. Yeah. Obviously, what you highlighted there was, there was no respect condoned.
No.
At the heart of that particular discussion of what happened with, and it was sometimes known as, there were a couple of things associated to that thing, in feudalistic China. I can't say medieval China.
Mm-hmm.
In feudalistic China was that, there were a bunch of wars. One of the most famous ones is the Boxer Rebellion. If anyone knows what the Boxer Rebellion was about, it was literally where, the Chinese emperor back then thought that he could show up with a bunch of his, you know, kung fu guys, and the British were like, no, my brother.
Yeah, we're way past that.
We are way past. You've got to come a little bit closer for that to work.
You know, and the irony is, the kung fu guys invented gunpowder.
And that's the worst part. And they were the ones that literally said, we won't use it in warfare. Which was a very principled position to take. But
at the British were like, nah.
At the height of the first industrial revolution's particular trend, the British, the French, the Americans, the Germans, the Dutch, they didn't care about that.
Nope.
Oh no, it wasn't the Germans, sorry. Yeah, it was the Germans. It was Otto von Bismarck. Those guys didn't care about that. I mean, if everyone looks at the investment that a country's military sector drives,
yeah,
the research and development and the investment that it commands, Helmut, you get to understand why the agricultural sector in a country, for example, in a developing country, will never be that sector that actually lifts everyone up. It won't be. Because the template that exists in history has been
military.
A lot of investment in the military sector.
Yeah.
A lot of jobs being created in the military industrial complex. So we're talking about the factories wherein tanks were made, wherein helicopters were made, and if people didn't skill up their skills, you were pushed out, you went somewhere else, and other factories were opened up that could absorb you. Remember our discussion about what does Namibia technically first need to qualify or satisfy its...
The foundation they need to lay for us to achieve industrialization.
Yeah, we need to be able to make our own, you know, we need a couple of the Rama Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So you need one factory that just makes certain particular garments. Another factory was making other particular items, for example, like small parts and small appliances, and another one that was making something else.
Mm-hmm.
Why does South Africa continue to attract all of this? Because South Africa has invested in the skills and in the infrastructure for people, because there are factories there. And it doesn't take much to just, you know, to try and attract a whole bunch of people that were working in this factory to this factory if it's in the same realm of the skill set discussion. But then you come to Namibia, and we don't know what a factory looks like, Helmut. The only factories we've all seen has been either supposedly the limited edition ones, like the breweries, before it was sold to Dutch ownership. A building site, if it's construction. And the other particular aspect, for example, if you have to go into, let's say, certain particular mining sectors, for example, the smelters in Tsumeb, and that's it. It's very limited. Oh, and fishing, yes. How could I forget about the fishing industry? And the fishing factories, the fish canning and tinning and processing plants at Walvis.
Yeah.
That's about it. That's limited. I know there's a company now, a local company that's finally making Namibian tomato sauce at $20. I mean, it's $6 cheaper than the old gold offering from South Africa. But you know why you're buying old gold. Comes in a glass bottle. You've grown up with that brand. So you already have brand loyalty to that tomato sauce.
Yeah.
You still have to understand, do I want this Namibian variant? Because it comes in a plastic bottle that has a squeaky mechanism, meaning you have to press on the bottle to eject out the tomato sauce that you want.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you're with the reason why All Gold is still the premium brand on the market from South Africa. It was produced and bottled in a glass bottle, a sanitized glass bottle with a screw cap on it. And that is a premium product that is still affordable to every, for everyday people.
Now, Here's one thing that you know, one thing that I at least to some degree appreciate, which is why I, you know, when it comes to military, you know, when it comes to military technology,
yeah,
I don't really blame the, you know, I don't blame the technology itself, but the user. We have, you know, we have had a lot of, you know, a lot of good things coming coming out of you know, military research facilities, the internet and GPS. Yeah. Among, you know, microwave,
Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi, all this is coming from, you know,
telecoms.
Yeah, it's coming from advanced, you know, military research. So
fiber optic cables, power steering,
all that is coming
4x4,
military,
the canning and tinning,
uh-huh.
Your baked beans,
yeah.
And your cans of beef.
Yeah,
I told you how many times, Hamada, that technology is 200 years old,
coming out of the military.
The French under Napoleon, they perfected that.
Napoleon blown apart. That's one guy.
Yeah. Well, technically, he was never blown apart. Homeboy was just exiled a lot.
No, the blown apart is coming from one Somali guy that went on TikTok and said that if I was a rapper, no, if I was a world leader, what would my name be?
And
someone said Napoleon blown apart.
Social we're not here to make Africa. We're not here to make Africa Day jokes, guys. Just remember,
social media is mean.
But that's in the swing of things. Don't worry.
I think the guy is aware of it. I think he's you know, his entire content is around that. He made one where if I was a rapper, what would my name be? And if you can imagine, someone people tried to you know to squeeze blown up somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really funny on social media. Just not in front of Karen. But, well, so negotiations is the ultimate goal of the Interparliamentary Union,
Yeah.
How do we, you know, how do we talk things out instead of, you know, how do we make sure that, instead of blowing each other apart, actually the foundation of the organization is based on diplomacy,
yeah.
Not military confrontation. Now, the world that we live in is very pro-military confrontation. Is where you have, this is unfortunately is basically one of those flaws that you find in human nature, like greed. Mm. Anyone that has an upper hand in a decision is most likely to bulldoze a decision.
Yeah.
And this is the same problem that, I mean, this is the same thing that you see in the corporate world, same thing that you see in a, thing that you see in a political world,
yeah.
and even on a bit more like a, on an individual level when we are you know interacting socially, if you have the upper body strength to lift helmet up, you are not going to negotiate with him. So it's you know if you ask me, it's one of those you know human flaws that we can only mitigate. We are not going to completely obliterate.
Yeah.
Now. This is where I appreciate more like the effort. At least that's it. We put in to try and stamp down on our own flaws. The IPU's headquartered in Switzerland, and that's one country that's known. To be very neutral in, you know, when it comes to military confrontations.
Mm.
Even though when it comes to, you know, dictators' gold, they don't seem to have a problem with that. But
was it that dictator's gold?
It wasn't a dictator's, you know.
It was more like confiscated property from other citizens. But which actually features into this discussion. Mind you. Does it particularly report, don't say? Alma, don't smile that devious smile.
Okay.
the worst part of this particular discussion in this report was, dear listeners, if you've read our poster today, we're obviously hoping that you weren't distracted by, you know, the other particular sort of like holiday-like features of life. The discussion has obviously been about, does peace transmit through? Mm-hmm. Because at this highest level of global legislative participation, the theme was based upon the it seems like the aspect of conflicts are amplifying and are multiplying more.
Yep.
There were emergency urgent matters that were also introduced, South Africa number one. which South Africa is now to deal with a whole PR storm regarding that since last week's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Here's the worst thing. Helmut, let me tell you the story, Dochman. Let me tell you the story. Now, until you mentioned it last Thursday when we did our other particular subject matter, the other report that we looked at as well, because on Friday we did the basic income grant report. The subject matter of, when you hit it on the nail by saying, this is not a coincidence that this specifically, that Donald Trump's attitude towards South Africa is literally based upon the ICJ court case.
The ICC court case
that South Africa is championing there.
Yeah.
Which is 100%. Because over the weekend, I watched a particular discussion once again where a South African policy researcher was interviewed by an American podcasting platform that is on YouTube. The Majority Report is their name. And they interviewed the South African guy, this researcher. His name is Benjamin Fogel. And Benjamin explained to them, this has been, and it's literally been the motions, was the bills that you and I also reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the two bills? The bills bill of last year.
The US-South Africa relations.
Yeah. The one of last year and the one of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally, you can see it is literally based upon that. So it seems now, according to Fogel, the Americans are trying to make an argument by saying that South Africa is busy committing
a genocide
in their country while they are taking Israel to a international court for the same subject matter, a genocide that Israel is committing. But there is a whole public relations storm that South Africa is busy fighting because so many people have come out and said, this is a complete lie. Even this researcher said, remember when you and I reviewed the development about the land appropriation bill that President Ramaphosa then ascended into coming into power as an act because he signed it off. Even Fogel said, nothing has happened so far. Nothing. There's only one court case. That court case that I explained to you.
Mm-hmm.
But that court case, I haven't found all the details about it. Now, when you look at that setting right there, you look at that setting. South Africa at this IPU event last year, the first urgent item was South Africa's court case or South Africa's plea for
Palestine at ICC.
For Israel because it seems like South Africa was even campaigning at that level.
See, the irony here is that, Israel, okay, I think, from my point of view, Israel is in a state of panic that South Africa was in towards the end of apartheid South Africa.
Mm.
Because, they started doing, a lot of questionable things because for one, the whole world came to, I think this is where publicity now is very powerful.
Yep.
A lot of, the reason why it was, to some degree, very easy for the Austrian painter to carry on for as long as he did to doing what he did was because, there are not a lot of people that knew about, that knew about a lot of the concentration camps.
And the atrocities.
And the atrocities until the end of his regime.
Or even until they were in the territory.
Until they were in, because there were no journalists, there were no journalists that were running around with cameras with, communicating with their, headquarters and then sending them information the way that we have seen Al Jazeera cover what's going on in Gaza.
Yeah.
And that's what you see then. One, the internet is, and also social media comes in because, I think the U.S. had a hold of a narrative when a lot of people were consuming most of their news through mainstream media, which they had a control over. Now, fast forward to the rise of social media, a lot of people have, not only do you have to, okay, if something happens in Namibia, you can go and cover it, but the people on the ground with their smartphones can take a video of it and basically tell you what is going on the ground in real time.
Yep.
Now, when you bring that up, it's kind of very difficult to fight narrative, because even if you push a narrative through mainstream media, a lot of people are getting their news from social media. And, not that everything that's coming out of social media is true, but it makes them, it makes a very easy comparison for what you are reporting here versus what's going on the ground.
Mm.
Because if you look at, if you look at the, what's coming out of the White House, what do you get from every official coming out of the White House? South Africa is committing genocide.
Yeah.
Now, if that was the only narrative, boy, you would be cooked. But you have media house in both countries and social media that are telling you, you have farmers themselves making video telling you, you know what? Well, this other guy I came across, Broa, speaking Xhosa. Like, really? I can hear my people, but I don't see them. But the thing is, what? But the thing is, it's very difficult to control narrative. I think that's where everything is now crumbling.
Mm.
Now, if you remember the Tucker Carlson and Putin interview, that's one thing Putin pointed out, that when it comes to PR, it's kind of difficult to beat the to beat the West.
It is.
Yeah.
It is very. And Helmut, that has been one of the particular things now. Obviously, many people have shown the AI generated things that those that are Palestinian sympathizers have highlighted during this particular Gaza conflict. So many particular AI pictures and images and videos and things were generated on that side,
yeah,
on the Palestinian side. Then you've got the whole Israeli military having its own camp, own PR strategy.
Yep.
Now, many of us have probably never heard of the terms PSYOPs, usually standing for psychological operations. And psychological operations have to deal with communication strategies.
Narrative drive.
Yeah. And this is something that also emanated from the First World War and the Second World War.
Yep.
Specifically, what they used to do is that they would drop pamphlets in enemy-controlled areas.
Yeah,
an airplane will fly overhead and drop pamphlets on either urban areas or a stronghold held by enemy soldiers, and then the enemy and it's supposedly to try and drive down morale, which is the opposite of what the Israeli communication military communication machine try to do. They would go into supposed fighting zones, and they would show you there's a hole in the ground here. This is where the bad guys were hiding. We found so many things, so many this, but it's a lieutenant leading a camera crew of the army's communication department.
In other words,
through supposedly where the fighting scene was. Now,
okay, that's painful.
Now I have a textbook, Helmut, of what happened in the Iraq War in 2003. When the U.S. invaded Iraq.
Yeah, on weapons of mass destruction, don't forget.
No, not the CIA spin.
Uh-huh.
That's another thing as well. There's literally I read that story, but I remember I saw it once on TV. So there's a CNN, or someone else, or Fox News reporter. I was riding in one of the helicopters of the U.S. Army. But before we continue, we actually have a short ad break creeping up on us.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge. As we invest in time on our network, enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage. For the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply. Always prepare.
Welcome back. Where were you?
Yes. I literally have a page in this one particular textbook that I bought for my journalism course. And it's literally about this journalist, Helmut, that he's riding in a helicopter, a US military helicopter. He's an American journalist. The subject matter of that particular section of the textbook was what happens if a journalist fabricates or makes up
stories
or news. So this guy was reporting that they are currently in a firefight. They were shot at, the helicopters were shot at, and he's literally on the front line, and he's there in the mix of things.
That's not being a journalist, that's being an actor.
No, that's actually being a football commentator.
Peter Drury is not going to like that.
So it came out later on, a couple of years, 5 years, I think it's before the 2008 financial crash, that he had lied. He was actually in the supply convoy helicopters that were like 40 kilometers behind the actual firing line. They're behind the actual conflict zone. Mm-hmm. They're like 40, 50 kilometers back, the supply convoy. Yeah. And the supply convoy consisted of these helicopters, which are also medical helicopters, yeah, by the way. Homeboy made up a whole thing about it. Now, the most famous case, obviously, had a movie made about him. Stephen Glass is the guy's name, or something Glass. He's the guy that fabricated whole front page articles at the newspaper that he worked at in the 90s. It was in the 90s or early 2000s. The guy that played Anakin Skywalker, Hayden Christensen. He played that actor. He was the actor in that story. And how the guy's
the right guy.
Yeah, and how his editor later on you quietly investigated every story he wrote. Because everyone was running to authorities and saying, but it's in the newspaper.
Yeah,
it says this event happened.
That's the thing.
And then later on, these public institutions like the police, fire department, and, you know, other particular public institutions were telling these guys, hello, we don't know of these events that you guys are writing about. We have no record of these things happening.
Let me tell you one thing about, why I agree with George Collins that, when it comes to people,
yeah,
the bigger the group people gather in, the dumber they become. Now, that one, this one guy from Italy,
yeah,
that did, I think one of the best experiments to prove that theory.
Was it the song?
The song. This is someone, did that guy even speak English?
There was no drop of English.
And this was just gibberish.
Yeah.
Bro decided to record the whole thing into a song. And people not only in Italy, but the entire Europe
were dancing to the song.
We're dancing like crazy to that song. I think and look, this is very interesting human behavior. I find, some of the best songs that I like are coming out of Zambia. Last time I checked, I don't speak Nyanja.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it's not unheard of for one to enjoy a song from a language they don't understand.
Mm.
Now, that's that goes to show that there's something messed up about our minds. That artist, that Italian artist.
And he was a comedian. He was like you.
Oh, dear Lord.
Helmut. Oh, he was a comedian. That's why he made that song.
Of course, so is Zelensky. That's the difference. Look. Guys, don't put
us. Zelensky's literally at the heart of this discussion of ours.
Don't put us in, don't put us in position of power. Bad idea.
Like, or make experiments.
No. Bad idea.
Yeah.
Like, look. The thing is, now, see, if you remember, I think, I'm not sure if that was Avengers Infinity Wars, where the government was, was sort of like trying to crack up on them.
Mm.
And to try to more like regulate what they would do because they were just, running around like a bunch of cowboys.
Mm.
Now, one thing, one of the guys that was talking to them, I think he came from quote unquote the government, told them that by trying to be the heroes that you are, have summoned a bunch of guys that are so evil that this fight is not going to stop.
Yeah.
Sometimes by trying to put, by trying to fight something, you create bigger monsters.
Mm.
Misinformation is one of those things.
Yep.
A lot of, you know, especially Western mainstream media was so hell-bent on trying to control narrative that they gave birth to misinformation coming through social media. Because a lot of people were like, you know what, if there's a lot of misinformation coming out of mainstream media, why should I continue consuming news coming out of mainstream media?
Yeah.
That loss of trust led people straight in the arms or the mouth of misinformation or AI-generated content.
Yep.
Right now, it's the very same mainstream media that's saying, please don't consume that, it's misinformation. The reason why they are there is because of you.
And in most cases specifically, it has also been about the kind of messages being given. Helmut, I've been in an interesting discussion for the past 5 days. Remember last week I told you that this particular discussion started with, why does the media always platform sensationalists? Because remember back to what happened to Ramaphosa.
Yeah.
Who was the focal point of presentations in the Oval Office?
CNBC?
No. Malema.
Oh, yeah.
Because Malema was singing his campaign songs.
Sensational.
Now, here's the worst of it. Here's the worst of the discussion also. What's his name? So, there's this one Twitch streamer. Twitch is another particular digital platform. His name is Asmongold. I also mentioned him last week.
Yeah.
So, Asmongold was telling now his audience, because Ramaphosa was trying to explain to Donald Trump some of the particular, you know, material that Donald Trump had there as supposedly reference material.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ramaphosa was trying to explain. Now, what you could see was literally the obnoxiousness of the Americans. The Americans think we don't have internet to tune in and see what they talk about us.
Another narrative.
So, Asmongold was telling his viewers, now I watch on his YouTube channel, I don't support him on Twitch because to have a Twitch account means I have to pay every month $5 just to keep the thing on. And I'm not all for that. You know, I'm all for the freebie stuff. I'm like a traditional African in most cases. If it comes from overseas, it must be free.
If it's not, count me out.
Yeah, if it's not, my life won't depend upon it. So, Asmongold had us now one of these 30-minute segments, and they were talking about that interactions with Ramaphosa, Donald Trump interactions. And then Ramaphosa asked the question there, where did you find all this material? In what context? And then Asmongold goes like, yeah, he doesn't know that there's a video. Here's the worst thing, Helmut. I switch on YouTube. I can watch an EFF rally.
In South Africa, yeah.
In South Africa online. Because SABC sends a camera crew to an EFF function. They send a camera crew to an ANC function. If you switch on some of my feeds there, SABC, ENCA, those guys have literally a live broadcast of these things.
Yep.
Literally. Large TV networks in South Africa. Now, please help me understand, Helmut, how an American thinks that the South African president would not know about the things that Julius Malema is doing at his rallies.
In his country.
In his country.
For that to happen, okay, there's no good explanation. If that happens, one, it's either...
They also watch TV.
Yeah.
Let's go with the safer zone. They all watch TV.
They all... Now, something that... okay, this is something that, you know, there's something that that Julian Assange said about, you know, media lies.
Yeah.
That, you know, people generally, we're talking about black, white, Asian, just people on the ground in any country.
Mm.
People don't like wars.
Mm.
Which is why every time every government wants to go to war, they use the media to lie to the people so they can...
To convince
them
people.
Up.
Yeah.
So... people, ordinary people, generally people don't like war. Which is why every time a government have to do, you know, to do something, it must use every single institution it has to lie to them.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and because, you know, the American empire is on its, it's in its decline, according to Richard Wolff. And
Mia Zimmer.
Sachs. Oh yeah.
If three academics are telling you they are in decline, and you're actually seeing it, Helmut, because remember, Wolf, Sachs, and there's a third American economist. They say that there will be a global recession But the other economies are trading with each other healthily.
Globalization for who?
For who? Good question.
Oh, yeah.
Are they telling that to the American viewers?
Yeah, I know that because every time, you know, every time Captain America saves the world.
It's only in America.
Exactly.
The world is only America. When aliens attack, it's only in America.
Yeah, you know, all the decisions are made out of the White House and stuff. Not even
for the world.
No. Yeah, for the whole world. And the military guys that shows up. I mean, PR wise, you have to understand the US is brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here is where you are. Okay. Now, boy, do I have a bunch of quotes. Abraham Lincoln once said, no man has a good enough memory to be a successful liar.
Mm.
Sooner or later, you are going to start tripping in your own previous lies because, you know, contradictions begins to pop up. Now, when it comes to, this is why even if you look at colonialism,
mm.
the people on the ground, a lot of people, there were a lot of anti-colonialism movement going on in a lot of respective countries. Or, you know, from the U.S., there were a lot of guys in the U.S. that were smuggling during the height of Jim Crow U.S.,
mm.
that were smuggling black people out of the U.S. into Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, obviously, you know, you find a lot of morally right people in every society. That's something that you see. That's I think why the whole Donald Trump genocide in South Africa is a very, very, very diabolical and dangerous lie, because that's them doing the best they can do to put a wedge, because they know that a race discussion is a very sensitive one.
Yeah.
In the US, especially in South Africa, because of the apartheid South Africa discussion. And farm murders again is another very sensitive subject in South Africa. It's not that they care about what's going on in South Africa. No, they don't. They just want to use sensitive topics to further divide people that are working on uniting.
Do you know that out of 23 farm murders last year, that's now in that Fogel interview with the Majority Report, about 4 or 5 were farmers.
The rest
were black farm owners or farmers or farm workers that were killed in those attacks.
You see,
and because the bad guys know that farmers and farms in South Africa are weak targets. They're easy targets.
Yeah.
They are either too far away from an urban
place. From the authorities, yeah.
Because the police has to drive a very long distance to get there. A second scenario also is what that Fogel guy highlighted, and he worked from the South African Police Service's statistics of violent crime. The most killed person in South Africa is a black and a colored man. In impoverished parts of South Africa. Now I ask you, Hermod, if I just give you that basic, all I'm doing is I'm just re-quoting what someone else said over the weekend. I'm just regurgitating that for you here. Now, in this discussion of peace and all that the IPU guys were having, you can see literally that the United States wants to use some sort of a
sensationalism PR, and PR,
a PR campaign, and one of the cabinet members is a social media owner, Elon Musk. Do you know that his father?
It's Trump, by the way.
So Elon Musk's father.
Mm-hmm.
Was fact-checked by a British or an American podcasting on, but it was another media outlet from either UK or America. They fact-checked the guy. The guy said there was like 4,000 farm murders last year. The guy said, the people tell him, no, brah, there was only 23. What are you talking about?
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash. It's that simple.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Oyo mnangeshefa no hara kushivifa oma akuro ye kupitira muhorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enyamukuro olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konorahita tuimwe, heali imwe, ne heali, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konorahita tu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Past the hour of 5. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. So, the he's okay now. Now let's go back to the report and let's look at now on page on the seventh page I found something something I found fascinating coming out of the debates and decision of the assembly and its standing committee. Now this is a general debate on parliamentary diplomacy, building bridges for peace and understanding.
Yeah.
How do you build you can only understanding entails you are talking, not blowing the heck each other up.
Mm.
So, now under that subheading, you have, that subheading, one of the things that, that was pointed out, that's, on letter C. the debate focused, D. Delegates from IPU member parliaments discussed the need for the international community to avoid double standards when it comes to ensuring respect for international humanitarian law.
Mm.
Now, this is, when it comes to ensuring respect for international humanitarian law, law obligations and how addressing the root cause of violation of them, of these norms could be a way to contribute to conflict prevention. What's one thing that we learned from the 24th, after the 24th, 24th of February, February 24, 2022, the war between Russia and Ukraine goes kaboom.
Mm.
Now, fast forward to, then you have all this type of, you have this all types of, of name calling coming out of the West towards the Russian president, basically everyone associated with Russia. And then the entire entire United Nations goes bananas. Yeah, everyone is, every leader of a UN member state, that is us, that's being interviewed by Western media, the first question they have to answer is, do you condemn Russia? Now, and then that type of discourse went on, and you have a bunch of guys also coming out of the West saying, you know what, this is just inhuman, this is barbaric behavior, this is more like a thug behavior going on, going on here. Now, October 7th, 2023.
Yeah.
Hamas goes into Israel, kidnaps a bunch of, Israeli citizens. And then Israel retaliates. To this day, they are still retaliating. There's not a single, from 2023. We are in 2025. They are still retaliating. let me just be super conservative. About, 2,000 to 3,000 people that were kidnapped.
Mm.
Some of them were, some of the hostages were returned. Israel have killed about 50,000 Palestinians.
Yep.
That's a retaliation that we're talking about. Now, the proportionality is like you punching me in the face and then I come, with a shotgun. That's not retaliating. Because if you look at the proportionality, obviously these conflicts are much more there are a lot of complicated nuance to consider. But, that's not what I'm looking at. What I'm looking at is the media's response. One is a genocidal maniac. One is trying to defend themselves.
Mm.
And the question is, what's the difference? And again, when you bring that up, you are going to, first of all, you don't have the platform to defend yourself. And not the platform as big as the one that mainstream media is using. Now, when it comes to, it was condemnation after condemnation hearing coming out of the United Nations. That was for Russia.
Mm.
For Israel, not a single one. And most of, Western countries will just be like, yeah, no. This is where, I think that's what motivated me to start watching, Yes, Prime Minister.
Are you sure it's just about Yes, Prime Minister, or is it the other one that I also supplemented there, referred as what do they call it, as expanded viewing?
Our interest.
Yeah.
Is more important. So the double standard here, you can see the double standard. Now, what is the picture this is putting up is a very scary one. For those of us that don't find ourselves anywhere, not in Ukraine and not in Russia, you'd be like, okay, who should I believe? Because if you follow news that's coming out of Ukraine, Russia is the bad guy. You follow news that's coming out of, Russia, Ukraine is the bad guy.
Yeah.
If you follow news that's coming out of the US, Russia is the bad guy. Now, and, if you ask Tucker Carlson, it's a whole different discussion. But the point is, misinformation lays the foundation for most, if not all, armed conflicts.
Mm.
It all starts with Saddam has weapons of mass destruction. And then that sensitivity part of the discussion now comes in. You remember 9/11?
Mm.
Anyone that dared to question that, why are we invading Iraq, even though that the perpetrators of the 9/11 even
were in Afghanistan,
nowhere near Iraq. Now, if you asked that question, you were labeled what? You were anti 9/11. There's always anti something, but this is someone that is this is someone that just trying to find out. That's the guy that punched you. Why are you shooting him?
Yeah.
So that was the invasion of Iraq. 9/11.
And the worst thing is about that particular relationship, which technically became a situationship, is that the US was an ally of both the parties that it attacked. It supported the Taliban.
It actually funded them to...
Yeah.
Fight the Soviets.
In their defense of Afghanistan against the Soviets. And it supported, and it was an ally of Saddam Hussein against the Iranians.
This is why politics is screwed up, man.
No, it's bad. Now, at the heart of everything, like Jeffrey Sachs highlights it, Hamoud, the Americans were actually used by the British in all of that. In Iran, was the British that told the Americans, come and mess things up here.
Oh, you know what's my favorite story on that?
Yeah.
Libya. Oh, no, Libya.
Look at Libya as well. And Syria. Because literally if Putin did
Syria.
Because if Putin did not say, don't pull the same things that you were pulling in Libya on Syria, then Syria would have literally fallen, then Bashar al-Assad would have also have been toppled in 2011.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. After the invasion of Libya and now Syria, who is going to deal with the fallout of immigrants? European countries. And the British and the Spanish.
And that's what they don't like.
Yeah. Now, the guy spearheading everything is literally halfway across the planet.
And he's creating a migrant issue for you.
Yep.
This is also where, Helmut, where the next particular subject matter kicks in. Now, we also have to identify that at this IPU of last year, of 2024, they were speaking about the increased rise of conflict scenarios and the amplification of them. It was pretty sad to see that they didn't include Sudan in it, in some of these particular discussions. Sudan didn't feature. also for me to read earlier today, obviously this is 2025 versus 2024, that, what's the country's name, has regressed in terms of their peace discussions in Mozambique, Cabo Delgado. Do you know that more than 1.3 million people have fled from Cabo Delgado? That's how a hotbed Cabo Delgado is. And in Cabo Delgado, the Mozambican army is defending oil and gas infrastructure.
Not civilian casualties.
Not Mozambican civilians. Not Mozambican villages. And it's Mozambican youth that were poor, that were influenced through Islamic or through Islamist
militant groups
that ultimately turned to this kind of aspect, which also feeds into the discussion you and I had last year. Why do the political leadership of Africa view youth, unemployed youth, as a, what do you call it, as an instability factor, as a factor for instability?
Yeah. Desperation.
And then you realize, because they don't have jobs, they don't have access to opportunities once again, they don't have opportunities here, opportunities there, it's just a bad thing.
So, if they don't have, that desperation drives more like survival instinct to kick in, where they are going to fall for every opportunity that will be presented towards them, no matter how morally questionable it is.
Mm.
Now, that is with the rise of military dictatorship or military juntaism on the rise in most parts of Western Africa, that's rising. You know how I blame first? Democracy. Because for a very long time, the quote-unquote democratically elected leaders seem to have failed to sync with the people's needs. You have some guys that have been sitting in office after being quote-unquote democratically elected multiple times for 40 years of winning elections by a landslide. Oh, come on. Even I know that's nonsense.
Dubious.
Very questionable.
Yeah.
Yeah. The people don't like you, but you keep winning election. Nice. Now that's pissing off two types of people.
Mm.
Those people that are in your power circles, hence the whole military overthrow thing. And the people on the ground. And the thing is, again, behind every revolution was an economic turmoil.
Yeah.
Now, the way it follows is, there's an economic turmoil. Economic turmoil draws desperation. Desperation draws an opportunist. Someone is going to raise up and say, you know what? I'm going to stumble over all over your constitution and take over power. And when I do, I'll put you first. But these guys, more often when they come to power, they don't put you first. They put themselves and their cojones first. They basically become their successor 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it's desperation. Every time you have economic desperation, there's someone who is, there's an opportunist in office who is going to take over power using questionable means. And when they do, there is no way of telling whether they're going to be a good person or a bad person. Now, the precedent we have set is they're always bad, but commercial bad.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia, on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, Between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. 29 minutes left to the hour of six, and we continue with just how self-destructive we human beings are. Now, I think that's just a very simple way of putting it. Now, when you look at how to put this, a lot of, if not all, developed countries have secret military, you know, military research programs.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at America's DARPA, for example, they know of its existence. Yeah, I mean, it's very public. After all, it's the institution that gave us the internet. Yeah. But, when it comes to their weapons technology has always been like decades ahead of its competitors. It's hard to tell about now. It's hard to tell now. If you look at one of the fastest fighter jets, I'm not sure if calling it a fighter, let's just call it a spy plane.
Yeah.
The SR-72 Blackbird. Now, this is a type of technology that I think is coming out of DARPA. And it was, in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, somewhere there. This is a military airplane that was so fast, it could outrun a surface to a missile. Now, before it became public knowledge, it was, before anyone thought that there was a type of technology that could go this fast. Everyone, if you told someone, take for example in the 50s and 60s about a plane that can outrun a surface to a missile, they could have been like, why do you smoke? But, technological wise, especially, military wise, countries are always working on advancing their technology beyond their competitors.
Yep.
The reason why the reason why the Americans and the Soviets decided to steal Nazi scientists is because they knew that, in a military dictatorship like Germany was during the Austrian painter, technological advancement, for some reason, thrives.
Yep. Because all those guys want to hear is, will we be the best? Yes. If we do this, yes. Here's the money. There you go. Social housing, stand at the back. Transport for all, stand at the back.
Oh, yeah.
Food for the civilians? No, definitely not. Stand at the back. But they actually improved on that, because then they would have factories manufacturing food, because jobs need to be made. And everything is made for the army.
And when the criticisms, especially about auto companies coming out of Germany, when they are being criticized that, oh no, most of these guys made their money during the Austrian painters regime. The question I always ask those guys, what would you have done? Look at the guy in power. He's not listening to your opinion.
Yep.
He's just telling you, thank you very much, congratulations on making cars, but now we want bombs. Thank you very much. And we want them tomorrow, by the way. But
we now want bombs.
He's not giving you an option.
This is what we want. Here's the money, but this is what
here's
we want.
The money. Look, you have to understand, he's not asking. That's one thing that we...
He was paying for it, but not the way you wanted to be spent.
So one of the most dangerous gas that the German scientists developed at the German Poland border was chlorine trifluoride, and it's not a gas, it's a chemical.
Yeah,
I think it's in liquid form. This chemical is government regulated in every country. You can't just walk in a pharmacy and buy it, because it's so corrosive, or more like oxidizing. It's another way of saying it can burn. chlorine trifluoride can literally burn through bricks.
Mm.
So now, if you are dealing with a chemical that can burn through bricks, you don't want it running, floating around in some, floating around in some pharmacies. Now, how is it transported? The inside of a container must be coated with Teflon. By the way, that's the same chemical that they coat your non-sticky pens with. Mm. Must be coated with Teflon. If there's a single scratch, that thing is going kaboom. So technological advancement, for some reason, thrives in military regimes. And, I think I found that on social media of some type of a new military ship that North Korea was trying to unveil, and then it sank,
It didn't sink, it capsized.
It capsized.
Because they were trying to offload. So how you offload a ship?
More like how you put it in water.
Yeah. That's why I said offload, because you're loading it most off from the dry dock where it's been constructed.
Yeah.
Into the bay. Uh-huh. Now they call it, that thing they call it a quay, which is technically a kind of a bay, but a bay is a natural thing. A quay is a constructed thing.
Yeah.
So to launch it off the, into the quay, mm-hmm. or off the quay, the thing just went like, on its side. And Kim Jong-un was there too, was now inaugurate the largest battleship that the North Korean Navy has constructed. And he was like, this sounds like incompetent sabotage. And a full-scale investigation must be deemed.
Someone is getting executed.
I'm literally trying to impersonate, how the North Korean newsreaders always sound. This is a state message. You have to do this and this. And that's just how they speak, specifically news during communist and socialist periods.
Oh, yeah.
It was always being a dictation, You always dictated to.
With authority.
You must listen. This is what we do, and this is how we go. It's not like what the conversations you and I are having, the modern communication styles.
Yeah, what the British would call civilized, quote-unquote.
Haba halo civilized, though.
Look, one thing I like about the West is they will come up with the fancy words to justify every atrocity you can think of.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not civilian. I mean, it's not killing innocent people. No, it's civilian casualty. You didn't kill any innocent people. That was collateral damage. I'm telling you, those guys are geniuses.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just keep quiet from here.
You keep quiet. Now, I know.
Yeah, you were still saying.
If there's one thing I like about the US military.
Mm.
Is the type of hardware they have. If you look at the Super Galaxy, for example, that thing can take off and land in gravel. Like their military airplanes, if you turn those into commercial airplanes, first of all, they would wreck your budget to maintain. But in terms of safety, safety would not be a question. Economic safety, on the other hand, that one cannot be insured. So, before you, we still have library, right?
Yeah. 10-2, yes.
Yeah, 10-2. When it comes to, solving, conflicts, more like in a diplomatic way, we are always going to find ourselves in a situation where, first of all, every time an empire falls, it leaves a power vacuum, which is why at times when empires are falling are not very safe times, because this is when a bunch of small guys try to fight each other for that position. And obviously, a few of them will be more like, will be kicked out, and then, the victorious guys, take over. And when that happens, one thing that you see is that obviously a bunch of countries will send their army to go and fight in the name of liberation, democracy, whatever lies, every country, cooks up.
Yeah.
Now, this is an organization that have been running since 1889, the Inter-Parliamentary Union. 1889. That means World War One and Two happened after it was founded.
Yeah.
So that means for a very long time, we have always had people in our society that have always motivated us to talk things out, not punch each other in the face. But I think it's just one of those things where ego and more like a human ego comes in. Like anyone that has an upper hand in a negotiation will always most likely dictate terms. And that's the problem.
No, but that's... Okay, that's one of the things that tried happening last week Wednesday. Obviously...
Donald Trump.
Yeah, because he's tried pulling all of that. I mean, I was even asked yesterday by my niece, what did I think about this engagement between Ramaphosa and Trump? The downside, Helmut, is that I was expecting Trump to do that because Trump has now obviously showcased himself, promoted himself for this kind of engagements.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the reason why I found it weird that Ramaphosa was sort of like flabbergasted. That for the, you know, for the right term, he
but
was flabby.
You know, a response?
Yeah, because he was like bumbling over his responses and he wasn't thinking clearly. He wasn't thinking quick on his feet, you know, in terms of responses. I mean, even the South African news crew that they brought was trying to ask Trump now questions. How does he think this is a genocide? What is his indication on a genocide?
Mm-hmm.
So that means there was even someone trying to help Ramaphosa. And then Steenhuisen asks back.
Oh dear.
And Steenhuisen clarifies the discussion even further, which should also highlight to you that someone didn't tell Ramaphosa, hey my guy, this guy is going to try and embarrass you. It's either you learn from the Canadian Prime Minister, Mark Carney, that was voted in.
Yeah.
Carney knew how to handle, because Carney was most, I forgot the Helmut that Carney, Mark Carney was the previous Bank of England governor.
Oh.
So he knows how to deal with politicians, but he's an economist. So most economists know how to deal with politicians. Then obviously there was the previous person that had also a little bit of a slip up with Trump was Giorgia Meloni, the Italian prime minister.
Yeah. And she was not happy.
She was not happy. You should have seen the faces she was making, the things that Trump was saying next to her. She was like, wow. You know, and the faces of surprise, it's always just surprised expressions on her face the whole time. Then there was the embarrassing engagements that Zelensky had twice.
Yep.
Then there was Keir Starmer from the UK.
Yep.
Then there was, who's the other guy? There was another guy.
Emmanuel Macron.
No, but they met each other in Europe.
Yeah.
And Macron decided to be
the pilot.
Yeah. Because Macron was not going to stand for that. You could technically also see, because what's Macron now doing? Macron is now on a whole Southeast Asia trip of promoting France left, right, and center. He's also been at the forefront last year to say that for the past 2 years, since 2023, Macron has been saying that Europe should have an independent army, independent from NATO.
Yep.
Because they could see Trump was gaining momentum once again in the elections, the presidential elections and campaigning in the US. Under the broader theme of this discussion, which is based upon what the IPU guys was looking at, is we're going to see further fracturing, Helmut. This is now into the future. We're going to see further fracturing. Where does the fragmentation take place? Our own governor, who's an economist, who has assessed global geopolitical developments, as himself said, further fragmentation is going to continue. Miersheimer has noted to fragmentation. Sachs has noted to fragmentation. Wolf has noted to fragmentation. The economic fallout potentially would be in the United States. We still have to understand how that would then transmit to the rest of the world. My fear is Ramaphosa was trying to still stay as close to keep the South African economy as close to the US economy as possible, because there's a lot of South African financial assets in the US. Now, if people are going to ask me, so what does that speak to, you know, the Namibian financial economy? That is one of the worrisome things.
Because of how tight we are
in
the South African economy.
Which is one of the particular reasons why you could understand the strategy that the governor had, the discussion we had 2 weeks back, the gold reserve. Why the governor went and told the president, President Nandi Ndaitwa, as a fail-safe, the Bank of Namibia is going to invest in a gold reserve. Which is an awesome strategy. Because Donald Trump as a business person, as a billionaire, doesn't seem to understand economics 101.
If you rock the boat,
you have waves and aftershocks hitting someone else.
The ripple effect.
Yeah.
No, I think he understands the economy. He just doesn't care. He's
already another billionaire from his meme coin. His sons are busy promoting him.
Oh dear Lord.
I've told you about that thing most. Just to have a meeting with Donald Trump as the US president in the Oval Office would cost you as a business person $10 million. Just to get into a meeting with him.
Unless you're from Israel, then it's free.
And then they would give you a tour of the White House.
$10 million? I can do a lot with that money. Negotiating is something that there's one retired US military guy that pointed out something that I totally agree with in the Andrew Feinstein documentary Shadow World Global Arms Deal. That small countries are very good at negotiating. That's because they don't have military power to bulldoze their way through decisions.
Yeah.
But big countries, especially whether this is big militarily or economically, they can twist your arm when it comes to decision. This again is why I really, 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 find what, the direction China is taking. Because, their economy is big, but they're not known for bulldozing their ways, their decisions through.
Yeah.
They are known to be actually very good at negotiating compared to a lot of Western countries. But, again, this is where you begin to see that, negotiation, PR is taking a different turn. Mainstream media is not working anymore to control narrative.
Yeah,
it's just not working. At least it's not as effective today as it was, back in the 90s.
Mm.
Because in the 90s, to justify the invasion of, the invasion of Iraq, all the US had to do was take the 16-year-old Naira, the daughter of the Kuwait ambassador to the US, put her in front of Congress, and then for her to give a testimony of how she witnessed the Iraqi soldiers, take babies out of incubators and then leave them there to die.
Mm.
That lie, which was later debunked. And then, a lot of people were interested in knowing who this person was, because back then they said they were not going to reveal her identity because, for her safety. That was in the 90s. And then, shocker for people to find out that she was actually the daughter of the Kuwait ambassador to the US. And everyone was like, how are we not surprised?
Yep.
And then, fast forward to 2003, weapons of mass destruction, another invasion. But, social media kicks up. Social media, kicks off, and you have a lot of people, then you have multiple avenues of people consuming news.
Mm.
And a lot of holes are now being poked left, right, and center on a lot of things that's coming from, from established more like, mainstream media.
Mm.
When you look at it at that, again, narrative control is not going to work. Like you just pointed out earlier that, before the internet and mainstream medias in terms of television, what did they do? They used to fly helicopters, or more like, they used to fly choppers loaded with pamphlets and then drop them on areas of, filled with people they wanted to influence.
Mm.
And then someone invented a television. They were like, hallelujah.
Even better. You made our job so easy. Oh, one of the oldest technologies, obviously, is radio.
Yeah.
That is being influenced also in that
sense. 1994 Rwanda radio.
Yeah. which is one of the worst examples that anyone can ever ask for. But before we continue, Helmut, we've got a
live read.
Small live read. Velvice University. This is a notice for the Velvice University September intake 2025. All programs are fully accredited by the NQA. Certificate in Health Sciences Foundation, Level 4. This is a one-year, full-time course available at all campuses. Certificate for Enrolled Nurse or Midwife or Acushur, Level 6. This is a 2 years full-time course available in Windhoek, Nkurunkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, Katimamulilu, and Otapi. Diploma in Environmental Health Sciences, Level 6. This is a 2 years course available full-time in Windhoek only. Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours. This is a 4 years course available full-time in Windhoek, Nkurunkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, and Katimamulilu. Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing, Level 8. This is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek. Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing, Level 8. This is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek. The application period is 1 May to 30 June 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever. Just coming back there from the ad break, dear listeners. So just particularly focusing on the impacts that obviously where we left off just before the ad break about, the impact of media. Now, there is a very weird thing, Helmut, that also has happened specifically in this realm. Now, I know we've zoned mostly into the communication side of things, but at the heart of the discussion that the IPU guys were doing, is that all the IPU guys were highlighting is that they need to find a way as national leaders, that's now all these parliaments that are part of the IPU, need to find a way of also playing their part to change and be a positive contributor towards, you know, people or towards scenarios or your national situation deteriorating into all-out conflict. At the heart of this, Helmut, you have made, there's a few good things that you highlighted. For example, like, unfortunately when, you know, people are continuously, the same guys voted into power for 40 years on end. Yeah, we've got two good examples. One is from Cameroon. The other one is from Uganda. Last week, Friday, remember, I told you in Uganda that Uganda is exploring, using the military courts to try civilians under.
Yeah.
If you don't know what that translates.
They passed that.
Yeah. If you don't know what that speaks to, dear listeners, that ultimately speaks towards, it would be easy to clamp down on political discourse, meaning if you're trying to open up a political party, an opposing political party, you can be tried in a military court as opposed to in a civilian court. Because the Supreme Court was continuously sort of like winning all kinds of, you know, contests against the government.
As it should be.
Because the government is bringing unconstitutional things in, but now the military leader, which is Museveni's son, wants to actually try people under the military courts so that the constitution can be thrown out.
Well, actually, you know, the same, you know, army general, aka the president's son, went on to congratulate the, you know, the parliamentarian for passing that law on Twitter, of all places.
Oh my goodness. But, oh my goodness. Uganda is really becoming a tin pot dictatorship.
I know. And, you see, Mr. Martin Chungkong of IP, the IPU secretary general is Cameroonian.
With a Chinese name.
He's Cameroonian.
Chungong.
He's a Cameroonian.
I read that name 5 times, Helmut. I was like, am I reading this correctly? Chungong.
Yeah, he's a Cameroonian.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, the IPU president, the current IPU president, Dr. Tulia Ackson, is the current National Assembly Speaker of Tanzania. Now, I'm looking at all their names, these guys. I'm like, these names are not very African or, at all. At least not the way that my my mind understands more like understands African names.
Mm.
You know, this is why I like West Africans. Because that's where you see Chidima. They don't play around. But you see, you gotta love Nigerians.
They don't play around.
No, they don't play around.
That's your catchphrase, they don't play?
Yeah, Dr. Okochukwu, they will just run around with that name. It has, you know, even as an African, when I'm reading it, you know, there's some Africanness to it.
Yeah.
But, well, why do you think I had to look the guy up? Because when I saw, Mr. M. Chungkong.
Yeah, I also looked him up now.
I'm like, hang on a second. When I was looking up, all the figures that were speaking, I expected the guy to be Asian. Now, imagine my surprise when I went to the IPU website and saw that, you know, Secretary General, Mr. M. Chungkong, I'm looking at the picture, I'm like, okay, did these guys use the wrong picture one? It turns out, no.
Nope.
He's from Cameroon. You know who else is from Cameroon?
Who?
NJ Ayuk.
Yeah.
He's also a Cameroonian businessman. I'm like, okay, now.
He's not a businessman. Let me clarify it. He's not. Homeboy wrote a book and he's a lawyer.
Yeah, he's a lawyer by training, I know.
A lawyer technically is not a business person.
Several. I think he's labeled like that on a lot of platforms I looked him up on.
It's probably because he's a consultant. A consultant is not a business person. Let's be honest. Consultants are not business people, Helmut. Consultants are, what's that other term that I used the other time? They're knowledge-based workers. They bring expertise in a specific field. They are there for short-term contracts. They are not there to install infrastructure to have a business there for 100 years. No.
Isn't the consultation a business? You should see Dwight's face.
Do you know what people think of McKinsey and of what is the other, these consultancies in the US and Europe?
Mm-hmm.
The guys that have never worked in a company. They've never had let me not say a real job, because many people would argue we don't have a real job. You know, we could face those same bricks, you know.
Yeah.
In a stoning session. Many people are, it's mostly John Stewart that has made jokes of them, but him and John Oliver.
The wrong sources, dude.
But they do make a credible point.
Oh yeah.
I mean, many people have highlighted that your field, the stand-up comedians,
yeah,
you guys speak more fact and truth than actual politicians and even religious leaders do.
Yeah, most of us are overthinkers. So because of that overthinking trait, which also comes as a blessing and a curse, because of the, first of all, it makes us, we are the most indecisive people you'll meet. You know, a lot of people find that annoying. annoying about it, because one question that you're going to ask will interpret it in 1,000 of different ways.
Yeah.
That's where the humor now comes in, because 900 out of those 1,000 different ways are going to be more, sarcastic.
Mm.
John Stewart, what did he say about the McKinsey guys?
Apparently those guys don't have real work. They've never worked for real in their lives. But it's also the same thing that, what's his name, that I follow, Gary Stevenson has highlighted after Gary brought out his book late last year. And Gary Stevenson was telling you the reality on the ground. Helmut, I once had a manager who asked me, why are people driving the latest versions of Audis, BMWs, and all these luxury brands in Namibia? This was 2018. And remember, at that stage, 2016, Namibia was reclassified as a upper middle income country.
Yeah.
And which is a fact. I mean, Helmut, you just have to ask yourself, who is sitting with your 200,000 Namibian dollars per year? If you know that you've got a job, ne?
Yeah.
And you're not making 200,000 Namibian dollars after tax or before tax even, who is sitting with your money? And that was a crucial point that Gary Stevenson pointed out in his analysis, in his discussions.
Yeah.
And he asked that pivotal question. If the government goes and borrows money, who's the government borrowing from?
You.
Yeah, the rich guys in the economy.
Yeah.
The rich guys in the economy are the ones continuously making money. And that's also why he said, as a modern day person, let's say a child is born today, that child has to be super lucky that the dad probably will put him or her as the sole company owner to a $5 billion dollar tender.
Super lucky.
Or you should already have a rich dad. Now, if we have 3 million people, 500,000 of that 300 million have jobs. You can obviously already see the discrepancy. There's 2.5 million people depending on 500,000 people for consumption, for paying taxes, for paying water and electricity, for paying for everything.
And a couple of thousand, those people are not making enough to feed themselves.
Exactly. Because only 200, or was it 224,000 of that are people that only have grade 12 and they are operating in this economy. There's a very small portion of us, like you and me.
Our economy.
That has a degree.
Our economy depends on
less than 100,000 people for innovation, for expertise.
You know what our goal is? Industrialization. We got this.
The worst is even the guys with the guys that are the technically skilled people.
Yeah.
The VTC guys.
Yeah.
That's less than 20,000 of them.
Those are the people we need, believe me.
We were supposed to have more of those guys.
Yeah.
Those guys are supposed to be the ones that are supposed, that would then help us flourish in terms of job creation. But somewhere along the line, we were told university is the way to go.
Yep, you will prosper. Get a PhD.
Just go and do this. I mean, I met someone the other day that told me they had, for a specific position, they had 170 people apply for it. Some of those people they whittled out because those people had master's level qualifications in communication. And they didn't have the job experience. I was like, what?
How does someone have a master's, they don't have a job experience?
They didn't even have 5 years job experience.
So they were just studying and studying and studying. Oh.
They step into their first job. Now, there's one of two things that happens to you in this Namibian economy. If you're too highly qualified, Helmut, you're not going to get a job.
Because no one is going to be able to pay you.
No, but that's the intimidation factor. But then if someone is too experienced, then you also are technically out of the realm of of applying for that job.
It's about affordability.
Exactly.
Oh, dear.
Now, you asked that particular question. Now, when I asked that that lady that question, was that for real? She said, yeah. She literally said, yeah. Which was a surprising factor, because in other companies, they hire the person because based upon the person's rah-rahs and because of the CV is that thick with a PhD.
Or you have a relative somewhere in there.
Or there was, you know, some sort of I slept on a banana into that position, you know.
You know, a Sri Lanka situation.
Goodness. I was wondering what African country I'm talking about, but then you went, Sri Lanka, you know.
I know, you know? It's just pulling in a Sri Lanka. We're going to take a quick break. We come on the other side, sign out, and wish you all the best with the next program that is Business and Economic Segment. But before that, commercial break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Oyo mnangeshefa no wahara kushivifa oma kuroyo kupitira mohorike radio station oyo Eagle FM. Enya mkulo olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi kono rahetatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa kono rahetatu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Well, the Inter-Parliamentary Union of last year's gathering in Geneva, Switzerland was based around what the organization was founded on.
Yeah.
The art of negotiation as a dispute resolution mechanism, not to avoid us blowing each other up. But if there's one thing that we have that was pointed out in the in the report, and also one thing that everyone with a smartphone can see is the escalation of armed conflicts around the world. Mm. And, from the look of things, parliamentarians are gathering, these are coming from over 180 countries to try and work out the best way to more like talk things out instead of just going to straight up armed conflict. Can we pull that off? Is a goal for the for all of us, and a very giant question mark of what are we gonna do to pull that off? In order for us to pull that off, with that I, this is where I park the bus, and we call it an evening.
And we'll see each other again, same time, same place, guys. Do enjoy the rest of your Africa Day. But stay tuned for the rest of the programming.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes for Vintook Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Vintook Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Vintook Beer, and you could win. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.